Respected Thầy, respected brother and sister in the community. Thank you for the meditation. I enjoyed very much. It's really a good feeling to see our friends coming from far away to be here and to practice with us. Sometimes when we practice, we have the feeling like we are walking on the road alone. Like sometimes when we go back home, sometimes we go back home and we is it too loud? It's okay.
No, no.
Okay, yeah. When we go back home and we practice, sometimes the people around us do not have the same kind of life, so we feel a bit lonely. We feel a bit like walking on the road by ourselves, without a companion. And sometimes, even in a monastery, sometimes from time to time we have that feeling also. Even in the community, there are a lot of people who practice. But sometimes we might fall into that same feeling that we are walking alone. And then when there's a friend coming from far away, we feel connected again. We have a chance to open our heart again and to get to connect to that energy. In the Zen tradition, we call it the beginner mind, Zen mind, the beginner mind. That is the mind beginner, the mind that's searching for truth, that's mind to search for happiness. So it's very interesting when we live in a monastery and our friend comes, suddenly we feel like a source of regenerating energy begin to manifest again. This morning I was sitting in the dining hall, and surrounding us, there were so many friends. In the last couple of days, I was the whole week, my mind was very much occupied with the situation in Prajna in Vietnam. On the September 27th, that means last Sunday, the police, the underground police, and the people from the black society, the gangster, the member of the gangster, go into the monastery, and they were very violent to our brother and sister in Vietnam. They beat our brother, and they throw away the material, they broke the glass, they try to force the monks go into the car and take the monk away. Two of the monks was escorted by the police to back to their own hometown, and some of the monk was hit with broken teeth, and someone was kicked on the head, and someone was hit into the chest, and so it was a very, very bad situation. So my mind was occupied, and I tried to do something to help with the situation. I tried to write email, and mainly email and contact. Tried to contact by phone and tried to call for help. So during the last 1 week, my shoulder was very tense, and it hurt here, and my back was very hurt. Last morning, coming back from city meditation, and I don't know why my back is very hurt. And I went into my room and I lay down and my whole arm is paralyzed. I couldn't move. My whole leg, it couldn't move. And I didn't know at that time in Vietnam the violence was happening. So I was having a contact with Vietnam. We finished the sitting meditation at 6:30. That means it's about 12:30 in Vietnam. And the police move into the monastery and they begin the violence around 9:30 to 10. So at 12:30, that is during the time that we finished the meditation, I feel so tired, feel so exhausted. So I went back to my room and I lie down and I couldn't move my arm, I couldn't move my leg. Some things very heavy, very very tired. So I rest for until 10 o'clock and I went out to lead the walking meditation for the family day. And then at noon time here in Germany, then some of my brother came and told me that the police come into the monastery, and I was very surprised that sometimes we live and we have such a deep connection. We can sense something going wrong, but we don't know what happened. But the whole body was blocked. It was a very interesting experience. So during the last whole week, I was working a lot, tried to send out email, tried to call a phone to Vietnam, tried to contact Sister Chan Khom in America, tried to do something to help. So a feeling of loneliness was there, working, even though we tried to reach out, but it's still a feeling of loneliness. So when many friends coming from Munich, we have a chance to share and to practice. And this morning, to see a lot of friends coming for the hiking retreat, suddenly a feeling of joy and regenerating energy begin to coming back to me. And I feel so good that we are not just lonely. There are still friends, there's still companions on the path. And it feels very good, I think. So this morning when I do the sitting meditation, I really feel a sense of calm and peace, a sense of relax, a sense of connect. Thanks to the friends who come in and practice with us and bringing that source of energy to us. Yesterday, I came back for dinner. I came back late for dinner, and when I left the dining hall, it was around 9 o'clock. The sister was preparing for cooking for today, and some sister was cutting the carrot. One sister was cutting the carrot. Her name is Sister Phổ Nghiêm. She smiled a lot, and she's very joyful sister, very innocent, fresh, and always smiling. She was cutting the carrot, so I asked her, "What are you doing?" And she looked at me and she said, "I'm playing." Very good Zen student. Usually, Thầy said that sometimes he walked into the kitchen and he saw his student was cutting the carrot or washing the vegetable, and he asked, "What are you doing?" And if that person said, "Dear Thầy, I'm cutting the carrot or I'm washing the vegetable," then they are fail. They fail as a Zen student, because Thầy said that, "Well, I see with my eyes you are cutting the carrot. If I'm asking you and I don't know what I'm asking, then I'm not very mindful. So I'm very mindful of the fact that you are cutting the carrot. So telling me that you are cutting the carrot is a not very good answer." You can just look up and you smile, that's a good answer. Or you generally don't have anything, just to smile and to be present is good enough. So yesterday my sister was teasing me, she said that I'm playing. She was playing, spilling, ich spiel. So it was very good. And I was said, oh, you are so good. I asked you and I was not very aware. I'm not a very good student of Zen. Because when I was asking her, I was not aware. Actually, I was not very mindful. I just asked like an automatic, friendly, so-so gesture. I said, what are you doing, sister? So I myself, I was not a very good Zen student at that moment. I failed, but she was success. I'm very proud of her. She's a good Zen student. Why I was not? Because we just ask without thinking and without full mindfulness. We just ask like a social interaction. And many times, as human, we are caught into that situation. We are caught into the situation that we don't act without full awareness, but we act mainly on a social code or some kind of binding that we are obliged to, but we are not really there to be present with what we are asking, what we are talking, what we are doing. So the practice of meditation is the practice that we need to be aware of every moment what we are doing and to be fully in that act. This is extremely important and it's quite difficult, demanding practice. And it's very difficult to be successful. If anyone who try it, then it can be very difficult. You know, it's very difficult. Like me, I failed yesterday. It was okay. We fail from time to time. It's okay. But we try. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. Within us, there's always a movement. The movement of consciousness. It's very important to understand this movement of the consciousness so that we can go beyond our suffering. When the Buddha was enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he first asked himself the question, why is there old age? Why there is the death after old age? Why there's a sickness, old age, and death? He asked himself that question. And looking back, he said that there's a sickness, old age, and death because there's birth. There's birth. And then he traced back there's a birth or becoming. There's birth becoming because there is a grasping. So he tracing back. It's okay if I write here. Everyone can see. Yeah. So beginning with the suffering of sickness. Old age and death. He traced back and he found out because of birth. Or the process of becoming. And he asked why there's birth? Because there's a grasping. And why there's grasping? Because there's craving. And why there's craving? Because there is a feeling. And why there's a feeling? Because there's contact. I think the battery is out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Cứ để cục pin này ở đây, rồi trong trường hợp nó cục pin này nó không chạy, sẽ có thể để cái góc này bật bật nhé. Dạ, cảm ơn sư. Why there's feeling? Because there's a contact. And why there's contact? Because there's a sixth sense organ. Sixth sense organ. And why is the sixth sense organ? Because there's a namarupa, there's a my body reality. I don't want to translate it, so I say namarupa, yansak. And why there's a namarupa? There's a consciousness. And then he asked, why is there consciousness? And in one particular sutra, on the night of his enlightenment, he said that, interestingly, he found out that the consciousness comes because there's a nama-rupa. And why there's nama-rupa? There's consciousness. So he said that the consciousness fold on itself, folding out on itself. But later on, with the development, later development, later teaching, then why is there consciousness? Because there's impulse. And why there's impulse? Because there's ignorance. So this is the cycle, the 12 link of interdependent of consciousness. Many people, and especially the early phase of Buddhism, they use this to explain the process of rebirth, the process of passing away and remanifest. For us, we see very clearly that what the Buddha tried to talk about is a movement. Of our consciousness. And this movement of our consciousness from time to time can give to error. That's only meaning behind. As a human being, we are continuously responding to the situation. There's a movement within our entire being. That is the movement of our consciousness. This movement manifests itself in different form. In other teaching, the Buddha talking about the five skanda. Five skanda, or we call it the five aggregate. The five aggregate. The five skanda or the five aggregate. The five aggregate is another description of this type of movement of the consciousness. In the five skanda, we have the form, or people used to say that's body. And the other four part concerning our consciousness is the feeling, perception, mental formation, and then consciousness. But actually, this is only a model of the movement of our consciousness. Our consciousness unfolds itself into rupa. It unfolds itself into feeling. It unfolds itself into perception, mental formation, and consciousness. Some people interpret this as a model for our existence, and they begin to go into the question of an ontological description of our being. As a human being, we are divided into these five categories, and these five categories have existence in themselves. The body, the feeling, and so on. It's a well-defined category. And many Buddhist theologians have a tendency to say the human being are constructed by these five aggregates. But if we read the teaching of the Buddha very clearly and try to practice, and try to understand his teaching, we will see that the model of the five skanda is a description of the movement of our consciousness, just like the 12 link of the consciousness, the 12 link of interdependence. That why there is that birth, and there's grasping and so on. These are the movement of our consciousness, and the five skanda is also a movement of our consciousness. Our consciousness give rise to our perception to see that as a human being, we have form, we have feeling, we have perception, mental formation, and consciousness. This movement of our consciousness is a natural process. It is a very natural process because we, as a human being, we are organic. Just like a plant. The plant itself is a movement of the consciousness also. The plant, due to different conditions, due to the sun, the rain, the water, then the plant slowly manifests and give rise to flower and so on. So there's this movement of life. This stream of life, when the condition coming together, life continue to propagate. Life continue to transmit itself. As a human being, we also have this consciousness. This consciousness. And in the Buddhist teaching, this consciousness exists in every living being, whether it is animal, plants. This is a movement. It's a movement of life that bringing things forward. It's a process. Our practice is to understand this movement, this process of the consciousness within us, and to understand the source of energy that is underneath this movement. The movement by itself is a natural process, but the source that is driving that movement can be a dangerous source, or when it can be a purified source of energy. If the source of energy underneath this movement is a compassion energy, then the unfolding of that movement will give rise to something that is very healing, very alive, that help, that contribute to the positive energy of life. But if the source of the movement is the energy of hatred, the energy of greed, the energy of confusion, then this whole movement giving rise to destruction, giving rise to negativity and suffering. That is the whole point. So how can we help to purify this movement of consciousness? That is the teaching offered by the Buddha. There's many different techniques for us to embrace this movement and to transform this energy underneath this movement so that we can have a positive movement of the consciousness. And the technique of practice has to do with the energy of mindfulness. The energy of mindfulness. Consciousness have the tendency to bring our energy into a focal point. It have the tendency to collect the energy and bring it to a tip, to a point, a focal point. Just like this. Let's say like when we have a funnel, and the water coming in, then the water go into the funnel, and it come out is like a stream. This is exactly the movement of our consciousness. The energy of life is the energy that is spreading, that is everywhere. It doesn't have the tendency to concentrate it. It spread out, just like this. Like a flat. But then the movement of consciousness have the tendency to concentrate this energy, bring them together, just like a funnel. It bring things together, concentrate it, and try to go into one direction. So consciousness, one of the functions of consciousness is its capacity to discriminate things. It have the tendency to discriminate things to distinguish things have the tendency to analyze things, to separate things. That is the movement of our consciousness. The energy of mindfulness, very interestingly, people who ever translated perhaps did very good. Our mind is fragmented. Our mind is split, just like the process of the consciousness. It tried to concentrate, it tried to split. So it tried to divide our awareness into different fragments. This is the bell, this is the flower, this is a brother, this is sister. So it have the tendency to divide into category, to split the reality into different objects. So the mind is fragmented, split. And our practice is to make the mind full again. That's one is called mindfulness. The mind has to be full again. Mind full. Make the mind full again. To be rounded, to be complete, to be flattened, to distribute energy instead of concentrating energy, to spreading out energy, to distribute energy out, and to spread it out instead of concentrating. So the spiritual practice is a practice that is different from some other profession like scientists. A scientist have the tendency to divide things, categorize things, and make it very precise, dividing it. Even on the surface, the methodology of science and the methodology of a Buddhist seem to be the same, but the goal is different. Many people think that as a Buddhist, we practice like a scientist. No. We are going into a quite different direction. As a spiritual practitioner, we have the tendency to smooth out the energy, to spread out the energy, and do not concentrate it so much. Meanwhile, any other profession in the society, whether you are a carpenter, whether you are a plumber, whether you are an architect, whether you are any scientist doing research, you will have the tendency to divide things, fragmented things, and try to, based on those fragmented things, on those splitting energy, you try to understand things. But as a practitioner, a spiritual practitioner, we are going into a quite different direction. So our wavelength complement the wavelength that is offered by the word. It just complement each other. A spiritual practitioner sometimes have to do the work of a scientist. Also, we need to have to do it, like by landing at retreat or building this AIB. We have to do the work of a scientist. But our main job is to distribute the energy, not to concentrate it. So it complement each other. So this translation of mindfulness is very interesting and it's very accurate definition of a spiritual practice. We practice in such a way so that our mind become full again instead of being fragmented, divided, separated. So that is the foundation, that's the beginning of a spiritual life. When we are able to return to our breathing, aware of our whole body, or aware of a part of our body, like aware of our breath, or aware of our feet, or aware of our arms, or aware of our body, then this awareness begin to help us to smooth out energy, to distribute it, so that it won't be so concentrated anymore. And this energy has the capacity to heal all of our psychologically unwholesomeness, like worry, like anxiety, like fear, like hatred, and so on. What the moment that we can go back and to aware different part of our body, we allow a process of synchronization happen in our consciousness. During this movement of our consciousness, here we already say the consciousness, but this movement is a very complex movement, because as a human being we have different level of feeling and sensation. We have our heart, we have our head, we have brain, we have our arms, our leg, we have our liver, we have our past experience, we have the experience of our father in us, we have the experience of our mother in us, we have experience of our education within us, we have the experience of our culture, our language, all of that is within us. So this we call this movement of consciousness. We might have the feeling that it is one single stream, but the fact it is like a river. This movement of consciousness is like river, why there's many streams going to it. A lot of streams going to it. Our lung, our heart, our brain, our past experience of our father, our mother, our ancestor, about culture, our language, many things. This stream of all of these experience that have accumulated until this point in the process of human evolution is there within us. It is embedded in our being at this very moment. It's a very complex. Human is so extremely complex being. So with this movement, let's say our father have a certain way of behavior. He has a certain way of response to a situation. We are grown up in this country. Let's say for me, my father is a Vietnamese. My ancestor is Vietnamese. During 2005, I have a chance to organize the trip for Thai. And have a visit. I have a chance to visit the place where my father was born. It was in Vietnam is like this. So my father was here. He was born here in this town. I was born like about 300 kilometers far north in this town. And 2005, I have a chance to visit the homeland of my father, where he was born. And it was very interesting. I went there, and it was very hot. Extremely hot. It's too hot that I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything. It's like I was more or less like paralyzed by this warm weather, this hot. And when I come here to the West, it's so cold. It was so cold. And so I come here. For many years, I have this problem of running nose. And even now, the moment I begin to do sitting meditation, and I begin to calm my body a little bit, then it begin to react. I sneeze and I begin to blow my nose. And it happened like that for many, many years. When I first came to Bloom Bliss, the situation was very bad. There was some day that I had to use up one roll of the toilet paper. You know, the big roll of toilet paper, because in Bloom Bliss we don't use the good napkin for our blow our nose, but we have the toilet paper, yeah? Sometimes my nose had problem that I have to use the whole roll for one day. It was very bad and it hurt so badly. So we have different past experience. Now the new environment show itself. The new situation show itself. And from these past experience, we try to cope with life. We try to respond to life. So when we, the movement of our consciousness, even though we say that this is a movement of the consciousness, but within this movement, there's many stream of consciousness. Or the stream, this is a, this movement we can call a movement of the river of consciousness, and there are many stream of other consciousness that go into this river. And we are in the midst of confusion. Our body and our mind are in the midst of confusion. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to respond to a certain situation. Should they respond it to the experience that our father have lived through? Or it should they respond to the experience that we are living right now? So in this movement of consciousness, there's many order. There's many order. And there's many stream of consciousness. They are fighting for each other to respond to a situation. There's always a conflict in this stream of movement, of river movement, of consciousness. There's always this conflict. And this conflict manifests itself into all of the sickness, the psychological sickness about being. And when we go back to allow ourselves to calm ourselves, to allow ourselves to be, our mind to be full again, we allow a process of synchronization happen in this stream, in this river of consciousness. We allow itself to, we allow the movement of our consciousness have a time to synchronize among its different experience and try to find out what is the best experience that it will respond to life. And that is the technique that the Buddha find out. The Buddha noticed that when he go back and aware of his body and his mind, just that awareness, he have a chance to allow this conflict between the different stream of consciousness to become a harmonious river of consciousness. And that is our practice. When we practice, we allow ourselves to relax. We do things slowly. We respond to things slowly. It's not that because it's not because that we become retarded. It's not because that we become dumb, but actually we allow our natural intelligence to manifest fully. Because among the different signal and confusion, whatever we behave, we respond can cause a lot of damage. So we need to take time to say things. We need to take time to respond to things, to allow ourselves a little bit of time to calm and to settle that energy before we respond. This can be an extremely difficult practice. Theoretically, it was like that. It is like that. But practically, extremely difficult. When someone say a nasty word to us, or unkind word to us, or someone who do just a little bit of unkind action to us, right away we will react. And where do we get the information for our reaction? From different stream of behavior that we have. Let's say if we have a very kind father. So this is a guy father. And let's say we have not so friendly grandmother. Not so friendly grandmother. Then when we a circumstance presents itself, when someone say a not so kind word, perhaps our kind father will have a different way of behavior, but our grandmother might have a different kind of behavior. And then at that moment, these two stream consciousness will manifest, and they try to fight for each other in order to respond to the situation. So either we become our kind father, or we can become to our a little bit not so kind grandmother. Sometime, on the someday, our kind father win. Someday, our grandmother win. It depends on our health. It depends on different condition. When the condition, different condition, are so strong that many negative condition, then it will support this not so kind grandmother. And when the less negative condition, then the kind father perhaps have a chance to manifest. So when we practice, the practice of going back to our breathing, allow ourselves to calm ourselves down before we react, is extremely important practice. And it takes many years to develop this practice. It takes many years, very long time. Many people said that there's certain enlightenment. Yes, sure, there's certain enlightenment, but it takes a long time to practice. Let's follow some breath before I continue on. Let's practice a little bit.